Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome to the Haney Biz Project. We are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time, and it's one conversation at a time. And Marcus, we all know that that conversation begins with one simple question. Are you hanging or are you banging today?
No doubt. I am out here banging. I got to reverse the question on you and ask you, are you hanging or banging today?
We are banging. We are at our very best, at our very best opportunity. And today we have an incredible opportunity to talk about innovation with some experts in that field.
All right.
But you know what? To start off, we asked the question on the Revolution, our newsletter. The question is, who was the most innovative company of the last decade? Do you know who that is, Marcus?
I'm gonna go with Tesla.
Okay. Well, Fast Company said no.
Gosh.
Fast Company said that number 10 is Spotify. Have you ever heard of that company?
I have. They're a music company. Yeah.
Okay,
they do a lot of good stuff out there.
Number 9, Chobani. What is that? Yogurt? I think that's yogurt. I think they have a very innovative way of packaging the yogurt. Lauren told me that you can actually, with Chobani yogurt, you actually separate the fruit from the yogurt.
Yeah, they have a honey one that I like.
Okay,
yeah.
And number 8 is Twilio. It sounds like it should be Twilio.
Womp, womp.
Okay,
womp.
No. And number 7, Netflix.
I know those guys.
Yeah,
Netflix and chill, right?
And then Tinder did not make the list.
Mark,
I know you had a vote there for Tinder. But we're going to be talking about the most innovative companies in Sacramento, talking about the most innovative companies in the world. Our guests will quiz them on the most innovative companies as well, according to Fast Company Magazine. We're going to be talking about, when we grow our business and we mimic what other people are doing, right? We call that like horizontal progress. But when we use technology to actually develop new ideas and new ways of taking our product to market or new products, that's vertical progress. And that's beginning to happen right here in Sacramento. The one story that comes to mind that's so cool is with the Sacramento Kings, right? In saving the Sacramento Kings, we built the Golden One Arena, the most innovative arena in the world.
Yep.
How do you think that's changed Sacramento, Marcus?
Well, I think that it's given us a new breath of fresh air a little bit to really elevate what Sacramento is as a whole and as a region. It's really given us a new look from the outside world of what our capabilities are and who we are as a people in this region.
You bet. Sacramento is percolating now with great ideas, great startups, and even some more mature companies. I'm one of the judges, along with Lewis Stewart, in the Sacramento Innovation Awards, and some of the companies that are coming up through Sacramento are incredibly innovative. And the one area that I think is going to be the big battle in this year's Sacramento Innovation Awards is going to be in the software realm, right? We're going to have SkySlope, my buddy Tyler Smith, one of the most innovative guys in Sacramento. He'll be going up against John Koss, Pondera Solutions, another extremely innovative company, and they'll be going head-to-head with DialSource, right? Josh Tillman, all those guys have been on the show, all incredible entrepreneurs, all percolating their businesses, all growing their business tremendously right here.
And they're all local guys, right?
Local guys made good.
So
what
cool.
A story. Love it when that happens, and that's beginning to happen right here in our region. And I think we can learn from the stories of guys that have been there, done that. I mean, when we hear stories like that we're going to hear today, that is, I call it the second best way to learn. The best way to learn is by getting in the game and getting yourself all skinned up and dirty. But the second best way is by listening to stories of people that have actually been there, done that. And today, we are going to do just that. Later in the show, we will meet Jeff Rizzo, Sacramento's innovative YouTube sensation. Then in our second segment, we will meet Dave Sanders, the legendary angel investor and the founder of Digital Sacramento. But coming up after the break, we will meet Lewis Stewart. He is the man leading the charge to help grow the innovative ecosystem right here in Sacramento. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by the Chief Innovation Officer of the City of Sacramento, Mr. Lewis Stewart is in the house. How you doing, Lewis?
Man, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for making the trip out to the Allegiant Giving Center in Rockland, home of Mark Tank. We're gonna grill you a little bit today. Is that okay?
Go right ahead. I'm game.
Okay, so you have been the Chief Innovation Officer for how long now, Lewis?
5.5 months, but not counting.
Tell us what your role is and how's it going so far?
Look, the role essentially is how do we enhance the innovation ecosystem that exists in the region? It's not a creation. It's not ground up. We actually have a strong, vibrant entrepreneur community out in Sacramento and throughout the region. And now it's about bringing it together to collaborate and how the city and the government actually plays a role in that fostering.
Well, you talk about enhancing. Where do we stack up? If you were to look around the globe or maybe just around the U.S., there are some role models that we might look to. Their ecosystems, I'm talking about.
Sure.
How does Sacramento stack up and how much opportunity is ahead of us still?
So the opportunity is huge. And it all is the basis of it now is about collaboration. So we have the pieces. We have a strong government that's wanting to do stuff. We have good innovators that are here. We have a major league sports team with the Kings and we're looking at MLS. Now we have to build the culture. We have to get everybody thinking that Sacramento is a next great place and that we're peers with the San Jose's, the Austin's, the Boston's, and those guys. Not that we have to look up to, not that we have to strive for. There's bits and pieces of things that they do that we can bring here easily and actually just, you know, kind of move in that direction.
Yeah, I guess that's basically it. Innovation is not copying people. It's doing something different. So here in Sacramento, we have a different set of attributes. And so we won't look like Austin. We won't look like Boston. And thinking about that, what role does the city of Sacramento play? Because this is the greater Sacramento area that the city of Sacramento has so much influence over, but what role do you guys play?
Look, Sacramento is the capital of the sixth largest economy in the world. You got to just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
And so Sacramento needs to actually step into that strength and actually start being a convener. Start looking at how you actually make government do as opposed to just being a government town. Mm-hmm. So you look at the leaders that we have in place now, from Mayor Steinberg to Congresswoman Matsui to Ami Barra to you name it. We actually have some players that want to do and change some things. So now we just got to give them the projects and the tools to do that.
Now your background, let's talk about your background a little bit. You came from a state government earlier in the private sector, but how does your role working in the governor's office, how is that different than working at the city?
Man, look, at the state level, it was super cool because I got to see California. That really what it was about. It was about innovation in the state. Looking globally, because we had innovators coming in from all over the world to talk to the governor's office and see how they can do stuff in California. The challenge with that is the state's a super big state, so it's hard to stick with something and kind of keep it moving.
Yeah.
Now at the city level, it's hyper-focused. You are here. There isn't.
Yeah, you don't have to go too far to make things happen. You walk right outside your office and all around you is innovation. All around you is opportunity. Talk to us about some of the things you're working on that you're focused on right now.
Sure.
Too many things to focus on?
Focus is an interesting word right now. You know, ultimately, like I was saying, man, I'm focused on everything from arts and culture to tech innovation. And how do we make sure that the community doesn't get left behind in that conversation? And you give people a livable place where they can actually come and raise their families and attract new talent, attract new businesses, everything from boxing to autonomous cars.
Well, you say autonomous cars, those are obviously a hot topic, but let's stick to sports for a second here. Boxing. Are you talking about bringing boxing to Sacramento in some way?
Actually, absolutely. So I'm actually talking to George Foreman Jr., so the first son of George Foreman, talking about bringing a boxing culture back to Sacramento that was here back in the 80s and 90s and kind of disappeared for a while with the rise of UFC. And we're working with the Kings, we're working with Visit Sacramento, we're working with all the players to actually turn Sacramento back into a hotbed of boxing, really from not just the event of boxing, but actually workforce development and sports training and everything that wraps around the sport that people don't actually think of when they think of boxing.
Yeah, I keep envisioning my buddy Uriah up against, or his team alpha male, maybe up against some of the up-and-coming boxers, and who might enjoy that kind of fight. I can see it filling the Golden One Arena, George Foreman's guys against Uriah's guys. What
so
you
that,
think?
So, you know, with the recent spectacle that happened.
Yes. Yeah, Conor McGregor, yeah.
I think there is a slight appetite for that. I don't know that you'll see a lot of boxers step up to the challenge like Mayweather did, because it is such a different sport, as Conor McGregor found out.
Well, we're talking about innovation today, and yeah. you bring up autonomous vehicles. Let's talk about what innovation, autonomous vehicles is one of the things you're working on, but what does innovation do to a community when people are driving that new technology? What can that do for us?
It transformed the culture of a city. If everybody is kind of spreading the same message and working in the same space, looking at how autonomous cars can impact society, looking at how a connected city can help you provide better health care. And so what you start finding out with innovation is once you intentionally connect it to one thing or the other, how it actually propels the economy, propels a society, propels, you know, what's next.
If I'm an entrepreneur right now, I feel like my confidence is improving in terms of entrepreneurship right here in Sacramento. We talked about some of the wins that are beginning to take place. What's your pulse, right? You've been in the job 5.5 months and you're talking to everybody, getting the lay of the land, if you will. What's the pulse in terms of confidence right now?
So I think, you know, we have to do a whole lot more as a city, as government. We have to actually go ahead and build those relationships with these entrepreneurs. We have to tell them that we're invested in them just like they're investing in us. And so the pulse is everybody's excited to be here, but there's still a question mark whether Sacramento's that place, right? And so now it's, you know, in the first 3 months of being on the job, 250 meetings I had.
Wow.
So that's the, you know, that's just the first 3 months. So we haven't even counted up the meetings for these past two, but there's an interest. There's a hunger that people want to do stuff in Sacramento and see it take off to the next level.
And how's a guy like you juggle that time? You're obviously a family man. You've got two kids. You're doing 250 meetings in 3.5 months. How do you divide up your time?
So I got three kids.
Okay, kids. Oh, my bad. Oh, there's a third one slipped in there on me, huh?
I can't forget him. No, look, man, ultimately the family is super understanding, because this is really an extension of what I've been doing for the past 7 years. And so the kids know that every once in a while I disappear here for a couple days.
you grew up in Sacramento, am I right? So you grew up in Sacramento to some extent. You were a part of the basketball family. Give us an idea of your upbringing and maybe what shaped your earlier influences and why you still consider Sacramento your hometown, because you did a little bit of traveling.
I have done just a little bit of traveling, just a tad. So look, I born in San Francisco. My dad was one of the early pioneers of the international basketball scene.
Okay.
So I actually grew up in France, lived in Berck in the Pas-de-Calais, lived in Monte Carlo, lived in southern Italy.
Wow.
That was my upbringing.
Basketball family.
Absolutely.
Did you play a lot of basketball?
I played basketball from the time I was 4 until my knees gave out around 38.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Did you play in the NBA?
No, that was my younger brother.
Your brother had a nice career and spent some time here on the Kings.
He did. He did. Walked onto the Kings in 96-97. So that doesn't happen too
Michael
often.
Stewart, Yogi, right?
Michael
yeah.
Yogi
that
Stewart.
Was back in what, the 90s?
Yep. Absolutely.
Exciting. So you grew up playing with your brother, and then you played till you were 38. It sounds like it was in the rec leagues or something. Was it in the pros?
So I actually played overseas.
Okay.
I played in Peru and I played in Belgium for a quick second,
wow.
And then came back and did the touring circuit. And rec leagues was 38, and then my knees said, yeah, you're done.
And now it's all innovation all the time. Let's talk about Sacramento's vision. We know why entrepreneurship and innovation is so important and what it can do in terms of economic growth and jobs. But what's the vision for the future from your point of view?
Right. So for me, it's trying to – part of those 200 meetings was understanding what Sacramento's vision for Sacramento was, starting off with my boss, the mayor, listening to him talk about Sacramento being a living lab, talking about being a destination city, talking about that next great place. And so for me, it was important to start branding that, start creating that image when I met with people, when I met with companies, starting starting to tie the connections between the university, government, and industry so that we form that triple helix. It's here. We have UC Davis. We have Sac State. We have University of the Pacific, community colleges. Everybody's here. Now we just all need to sit down and work together and figure out what Sacramento's real story is so that we can communicate it to the outside world.
And if we were going to break some news, is there any news that's breaking from the city right now or something that's right around the corner? You talked about boxing. I did not know about the boxing. Is there anything else we can break from on the innovation front that's happening right here in Sacramento?
Breaking news?
Breaking news. Breaking news. Something where we can get one of the first guys on the scene.
So what you'll probably see in the next 4 or 6 months, you'll probably see some of the city fleet rolling around with digital electronic license plates.
Oh, wow.
So e-ink based license plates. So, you know, the company wants to make Sacramento the first city, one of the first cities to roll those out. So we're talking to the city fleet guys to see if we can help pilot that.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Okay. So last question. Advice to guys like me. I'm a small business guy, right? I've got a number of businesses thinking about how to innovate my company. Any advice to us as we attack this next decade here in Sacramento?
So look, the biggest advice I have, it was given to me and I didn't quite understand it a couple years ago, is show up.
Yeah.
So when you have events, when you hear about stuff that's actually burgeoning, be there. Whether you believe it or not, the fact that you're in the same room, same proximity with other innovators and entrepreneurs actually kind of starts building the energy. But if you're not there and you stay in your little silo, it's not going to work too good.
Lewis Stewart with the words that we will never forget, you have to show up, my friends. If you are in order to get ahead, in order to win, it starts with showing up. Thanks for coming on the show today, Lewis.
I
appreciate it. Love what you guys are doing at the city. So helpful in helping enhance the entrepreneurial ecosystem that we have right here in Sacramento. Coming up after the break, we will meet Mr. Dave Sanders, the legendary angel investor and the founder of Digital Sacramento. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am here with Dave Sanders, the founder of Digital Sacramento, among many other things. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing good.
We're just talking about you have joined the Five Timer Club. Well, we have started the Five Timer Club. Dave has been on the show 5 times, always sharing cool information. A lot of it's about angel investing, so we'll dive into that a little bit. But I want to talk about Digital Sacramento. What is Digital Sacramento?
Having been involved and been around the area for a long time, and as you know, I've been personally involved in trying to grow the technology sector in our region. And so many of the companies here inform us that they have a challenge finding technical talent. Not only talent that's here, but even remotely. So the concept behind Digital Sacramento is to create an exclusive job board that is only focused on selling and growing technology talent in our region and putting them together with all the companies, not just technology companies, because most companies have needs for technical workers of one form or another. So our vision is to create this initially a job board, but get the word out here locally, but ideally promote the heck out of this thing to the Bay Area, Southern California, Seattle, Texas, Colorado. Let's go find all the people that would come here if they knew about a great opportunity.
Interesting, because we're talking about building a platform, and when you're building a platform, you need two sides of that equation, right? You need the job seekers, and then you need the employers. Am I right?
We do.
So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? How do you pull off both at the same time? What's going on?
Well, we started with the chicken, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure which is the chicken or which is the egg.
Okay.
But we start with the chicken by just scraping jobs off of Indeed.
Okay.
To at least get, I think we have about 1,000 technology jobs. It's not perfect, but it's a starting point. And then we'll start promoting it to candidates that already exist here, and then long-term start getting the word out to other regions.
Let's talk about the candidates here in Sacramento. I mean, we're highlighting the opportunity that is the talent here in Sacramento. How would you describe the talent here in our region?
I think we've got a great pool of people that have technology backgrounds, right? Whether it's software developers, other types of engineers. So I think we have a great pool. There's, you know, probably in our region 50,000 plus or minus, okay, that exist here today. But there's hundreds of thousands that potentially could move here if they were aware of the right opportunities. So the interesting thing is you got companies that are having a challenge finding the talent, but I know lots of talented people that don't know about the opportunities. So my goal is to get most of the companies having some level of visibility on this site.
So you're saying that, make sure I understand this correctly, you see people transplanting themselves to Sacramento from other areas, the innovative talent, the technology talent, actually relocating here to Sacramento.
I think that opportunity exists. First and foremost, I'd like to make sure all the people that have talent that are already here are finding, you know, the best
Don't
fit.
Leave.
Don't
leave. We need you.
Don't go to the Bay Area. We got 20,000 millennials moving from the Bay to Sacramento right now every year, just building off of what, you know,
yeah, we all know
innovation.
Somebody that lives here in Sacramento and commutes to the Bay Area for a job that pays maybe a little bit more money, when really it may make more sense for them to stay here.
There's about 110,000 people commuting from here to the Bay every week, and 90-some-odd thousand commuting from the Bay to Sacramento. But the biggest challenge...
Okay, so there's a few more commuting outside. Okay.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. They're probably all working for government here. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is getting visibility for both the companies that have the opportunities and the candidates that have skill sets, and then ultimately defining the culture that these companies represent and the kind of culture that candidates want to be part of, and then matching the two. So that's kind of our vision long term.
What kind of jobs exist here in Sacramento that somebody might move here for?
Anything relative to technology. It could be any kind of software engineering, UI, UX. We have broadest range. You know, we have medical device companies that need certain types of technology workers. So it's very broad.
Yeah, we talked about some of the most innovative companies in Sacramento. We're talking about them at the Sacramento Innovation Awards. We talked about some software companies, SkySlope, right? Tyler Smith. We talked about Josh Tillman with DialSource, and then Pondera Solutions. We got John Koss. These guys are all hiring right now. They need good people. We need them from out of the area, but what about the people that are coming and getting out of the community colleges or even getting out of Sac State or UC Davis? How much trouble are they having finding a job today in technology?
Yeah, I think, you know, you come out of school and then the question is, do you have all the soft skills that you need? So one of the other things we want to long-term build into the site is the opportunity for them to get internships. We're already talking to Sac State. We're talking to UC Davis. Our goal is to get some of those students, even starting as early as high school, starting to connect the dots and finding employers here that, you know, might even offer them a paid internship.
Well, let's talk about the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So I love what you're doing with Digital Sacramento. I think that's going to be helpful in drawing attention to this opportunity that is Sacramento, because we talked about it a little bit earlier. There's a lot of seeds that have been planted, a number of businesses beginning to sprout up here. How do you see Sacramento and compared to maybe a few years ago? And what do you envision looking forward?
I would say in the last 5 years, I look at an accelerated growth in this region. Since I've been here, I've never been more excited about what I see as the potential. Having the Kings stay here, you have an opportunity to go on a Saturday night downtown Midtown. It's hopping.
Yes.
You know, people are on bicycles. It's a great place for young people and sometimes senior citizens. But I think we're in for boom times. I mean, the Bay Area is just so expensive right now. And you could be living 90 miles away, have a quality of life. You know, I'm a skier. Mm-hmm. I can wake up in the morning on a Saturday and I'll be on the slopes in an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
When I lived in Mountain View, it wasn't quite the same. And I guarantee you, right now you wake up on a Saturday morning, it'll be Sunday before you're skiing.
And as an angel investor, we haven't had a chance to talk too much about your angel investing. What about the funding side of Sacramento right now? We're starting to see some a little bit more flow of capital for the startup community and maybe even for a little bit more mature companies. As an angel investor, how do you view what's happening right now in Sacramento?
Just look at Sacramento Angels. We're growing. Today, we're just over 50 members. I think we're going to take that to 75 here in the next 18 months. So that's expanding. More people here locally are either moving here or have had successful exits and want to participate. So we're trying to beef that up and get that more accelerated. We have partnered with 13 other angel groups across Northern California called InSync Angels. So now we literally have access to hundreds of angels. Key is to bubble up great deals.
Yeah, we need some
great
companies and great deals. Dave, I know you're one of the guys that started the SAC Angels. You've been doing this a long time. You've recruited me in. So if you want more information around the SAC Angels, hit me up. Dave's always good to talk talk about what's going on in angel investing right here in our community. Dave, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You know, I think there's so many innovative things that are happening, and I really love what you're doing with Digital Sacramento. So thank you very much.
So one last parting thought, digitalsacramento.com.
Yes.
That's the site. Give us a little bit of time to do all the quality control, but we're going live as we speak. And like you said, it's a two-sided platform. It's going to take a little time to get the activity up, but I really want all CEOs in this region to participate, to do video vignettes on their company.
Yes.
Work with you.
You bet.
And
yeah, we'll call that out to anybody who's listening. Thank you, Dave. This site is really different in many ways. One being you can put a video of your job posting or posting about your organization onto the site to add a little bit of sex appeal to it. Because, I mean, really, sometimes we want to talk about the culture of our company, and that doesn't come out in a 30-word LinkedIn post, right? But it can happen on a website with video.
Yep.
So I can help you with that. Dave can help you with that. We will make sure that that happens. And if you're listening to this and you want to help Sacramento and you're an employer, get your posting, get your jobs up on the site. I think it'll be good for you, but I think it'll also be good for what's going on right here in Sacramento. So thank you again, Dave, for coming on the show. When we return, we are going to be joined by the YouTube mastermind, and he's a good buddy of mine, Mr. Jeff Rizzo. He's the founder of Rizno's. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Jeff Rizzo of Rizno's. How are you doing, Jeff?
Doing amazing, Mark.
And now, when I normally see you, you are either throwing the football around or you're doing some kind of athletic move. You're at the gym. You're like the most physically fit entrepreneur I have ever seen in my life. And you are here today in a chair. What's going on?
Thank you. I'm second to you, by the way.
I hear you do two-a-days for the old man. But tell us about Rizno's. You are an expert in athletic gear, in all kinds of things, but you are also a YouTube sensation. So we want to get to know you, Jeff.
Well, thank you for that very much. We run a very popular YouTube channel and website, and we help people learn about products and we help them save money on products. It could be anything from running shoes, GPS watches, smart watches, TVs, electronics, mattresses, anything under the sun. If it's popular and people want to know about it, I want to opine on it. I think that's one of the gifts that we have, is that we can take something that's complicated and boil it down into something that is bite-sized and digestible for someone. Nobody wants to watch an hour-long video. They want to watch a five-minute video that maybe leaves things out, but then tells them most of the things they want to know.
Okay, so you make videos, you have a camera crew, you put together videos, you show them on YouTube, among other in other areas. How do you make a YouTube video exciting and watchable and make me want to click?
Share. There's a pretty good science behind it. The thumbnail is very important. There's lots of keywords that are very important to capture as far as getting people to see it. But making it entertaining, we actually, before we go live with anything, we actually sit down and we always have a footnote at the top, or I guess it would be at the bottom, and it says jokes. So we always implement some sort of joke into every single video, something that's entertaining. People don't want to watch 5 minutes of just boring information. They want to laugh.
What's the wackiest thing you've done on one of your videos?
Oh, my Lord. Actually, out front not too long ago, we were throwing the football across the 4-lane street.
Oh, wow.
So that, I don't know if that was legal,
was
actually, but it worked.
I'm going to call the Rockland PD right now and get them involved here.
I'll tell you what, it was the best Beat Solo 3 headphone review you ever seen.
Wow, interesting. Crazy stuff. Now, how important is star power, Jeff?
Star power? It's important. I would love to have more star power.
What about you? I go somewhere with you, or if I'm wearing my Rizno's shirt around, people know you. You are a YouTube celebrity. You can't do that by being a boring guy. You're an interesting guy. You're talking a lot about athletic stuff. You're in shape. You have people helping you that are athletes. It's got to have something to do with star power.
I mean, obviously, over the years, I've built up a certain credibility, and people love watching the videos, partly because I'm there, but you know, we have lots of other talented people that work for us, and we've been able to teach them the tricks of the trade to where, you know, if you watch a video that Matt has done, it's just as entertaining and it's just as concise and helpful and relevant. So I think star power is important. I would love to have some celebrities. Shout out to the celebrities that are watching.
If any celebrities are watching, Jay Hornbuckle, come on.
So they would perform better than I do, but we do okay.
So let's talk about that. You've been doing this how long? You said over the last 5 years. Talk to us about the progression and what the videos look like. might look like today as compared to when you first launched?
Well, I started 4 years ago in my parents' garage.
Okay.
And slowly the videos got better. I checked back every month and it was like 100,000 views, 200,000 views. I hit 1 million views and it was the craziest thing ever.
Wow.
And then you slowly start getting better and you refine what you're good at. And I was not good at much and finally got better at it. And now 4 years on, we've got a few employees. We've got a great office here at the Haney Biz HQ. We just took over more space. And I could not be happier. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what we've been able to accomplish.
Well, I could not be happier either as somebody who loves you, Jeff. I'm also invested a small amount. I would call myself an angel investor, but I think you are the angel in this relationship. I feel privileged to be investing into your business because
you
had so much success. Your user growth is off the charts. I mean, how do you guys, what kind of metrics do you look at when you're measuring your success?
Well, first off, thank you. That was really nice of you to say, and really happy to have you as a part of our team. We look at every single metric we can possibly find, and we have so much data on everything, and we look at every little number meticulously. Everything from watch time, view duration, we look at total views, we look at our placement on Google. The goal is just to get better. Every time I'm on the first page of Google for something, I know I did something right, but I want every single video to be the first page of Google, and I want every single person that watches it to go, wow, I want to subscribe to see more because they had everything I wanted to know.
And some people don't know what subscribing to YouTube means. If you subscribe to your YouTube channel, then you sort of get notified that that you've put out a new video and it kind of calls it to your attention to watch out. Hey, here's Jeff's latest and greatest or Matt's latest and greatest.
It's exactly how it works. Just like signing up for a newsletter.
Yeah. Very cool. And thinking about your team, you touched on Matt. I know you've got a video team. How important is the team? And what do you see for the future? I know you guys are growing.
I'm really glad that you asked that question because this started with just myself, and I'm finding out very quickly that the team is so much more important than the star power. It's so much more important than me. I'm having the hardest time finding people. I want to hire 3 more people today. So
wow.
I'm going to be
Digital
signing up.
Digital Sacramento.
I have it all written down. I'm going to do a video vignette. So I'm just finding out quickly that finding the right people is the most important thing, and I need more people on my team. And I know I can train them to do things the Rizno's way. Just got to find the right people. And I can tell you what, I've been actually pretty disappointed with a lot of the other job boards. So I'm really looking forward to Digital Sacramento.
You know what I found? We're hiring here at Haney Biz too, and I need to get the word out too. So I'm going to make this a little infomercial for Haney Biz. We're hiring in multiple areas, whether it be technical, video type stuff. We have a number of sales type positions. We have a lot of companies. So there's always an open spot here at Haney Biz. But thinking about getting the word out, what I found is some of the best ways to meet people. Obviously, no slight on Digital Sacramento. I'm looking forward to launching something there. But word of mouth. I mean, it's who you know sometimes, isn't it?
I completely agree. I mean, we hired somebody based on word of mouth. That was the best source that we could find. But again, there's not really that many great sources. You talked about this earlier, and I really think you're correct. At some point, you have to build your business. You need to be hunkered down. You need to work as hard as you can every single day. And then there comes that inflection point where you need to get out into the public. And I'm pretty close to that now. Yeah. But I completely agree with you.
That sounds like a good thing where you've hit enough milestones where you're ready to add some fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Yes, sir. I mean, when you don't have a product to show people, you should continue to work on the product. But at some point, I'm looking forward to getting out there a little bit more.
How important is innovation in building a company like Rizno's?
That's the entire thing is based on the fact that I thought I could do a better job of presenting products to people and saving them money. So I think we're relatively innovative. I'd love to do more, but it's based on the premise that I think I could do a better job of reviewing products.
So what's innovation look like inside Rizno's? Is that you analyzing stuff? Is that a collaborative effort? How does
it's
that work?
Everybody. We are completely flat. We're such a small organization that when we come up with ideas, it could be playing football in the parking lot. I don't care who says it. If it's a good idea, we're going to do it. And we're really small. Can I emphasize that anymore? So we're very nimble, which is a good thing.
And thinking about, on this show, we talk a lot about, are you hanging or are you banging? If you're hanging, that's your downtime. You need your time to relaxing. Maybe it's throwing the football in the parking lot, something like that. It's kind of your downtime. It's where you recharge maybe a little bit. And then there's a time when you are at your very best opportunity. We call that banging. And sometimes we end up as entrepreneurs, we're in neither place, right? We're not really hanging. We're not in relaxed mode and we're not at our very best. What does banging look like inside Rizno's for Jeff Rizzo?
For me specifically, I'm working constantly. We're producing, 1 week we did 11 videos in 1 week. So we're just constantly pushing out content, doing the best we can with every single video and every single post. As far as the rest of the team, they're in their butts are in their chair, yeah, and they're working on something, whether it's editing a video or if it's analyzing the numbers. I think I was at the office till, I was here last night till 11 p.m. and that's not uncommon for every single person on the team.
So the most important, it sounds like one of the most important things for you now is really creating a watchable video. Maybe a how often do people share the videos and comment, and things can tend to go viral if it's a strong enough content. Am I right?
Definitely. I've never had something go viral. I would love to do, I've had plenty of things that were on the precipice of going viral, but we have a few videos that have a million views on them. Plenty have hundreds of thousands of views, thousands of comments, and that's pretty amazing to me, but nothing viral yet.
Advice to entrepreneurs who are thinking about making the leap, right? There's guys that have been working in a job. You were an investment banking business guy, and you decided to sort of go all in on entrepreneurship. Advice to people who are thinking about making the leap.
Do it. Just like I believe it was Lewis that said it, you just got to start. You got to show up. And I think that's the biggest thing. Just try it. Jump off the cliff. I was scared to death and I had no money. And somehow it worked out.
And look how it worked out for you, Jeff Rizzo, one of the fastest growing companies here inside the Haney Biz world. I love what you're doing here. I thank you for your friendship and for how you're helping the entrepreneurial community with sharing your thoughts. A young guy in his mid-20s, making us all proud. So anyway, thank you very much, Jeff. All right, there are so many exciting things happening right here in Sacramento. Some people want more Mark Haney. A lot of people don't, but if you do, I will be out at the Sacramento Region Innovation Awards. They're out in Sacramento on the 14th, I believe. Oh, no, excuse me, November 7th. I'll be out there sponsored by Stoll Reeves, the Business Journal, and, of course, Moss Adams. Also, the November 14th, the Small Business Contest by Ethan Conrad Properties here at Haney Biz. That is on November 14th. Doors open at 6. You need to check in with us prior to showing up to make sure we have room for you. But some great things happening right here in Sacramento. Marcus?
Yeah, I wanted to give a special shout out to our sponsor, Limitless Limos, who are doing they're doing some really great holiday light tour specials. So go ahead and check them out, ll916.com. I also wanted to give a special shout out to Kim Silvers of Silvers HR. Has all your HR needs for your small business. Visit silvershr.com.
No doubt. And next week, we're going to be talking about leadership with two leaders of Sacramento. We're going to have Colonel Larry Broadwell, along with the Assistant Chief of the California Highway Patrol, Johnny Fenner, will be joining us, along with my partner in the Haney Biz Marketing Group. We're going to be talking about leadership and influence. I'll be bringing on Mito Eldon to help. When we return, we will share our closing thoughts about innovation. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisors, Stifel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR, Mark Haney. And I am back here with Marcus Haney. Today we have been talking about innovation and who the most innovative companies in the world are. Marcus, we've also been talking to three great guests, right? We had Jeff Rizzo on sharing his story of Riznos. We had Dave Sanders on telling the story about Digital Sacramento. But we also had the city of Sacramento's Chief Innovation Officer, Lewis Stewart, talking about what's going on in the city of Sacramento. What are your any takeaways from today?
What Lewis said was really interesting to me, and I think that he mentioned something. Just jump in. I think Jeff mentioned it. Rizzo as well said, hey, get in the game a little bit as an entrepreneur. And a lot of times, you know, we hear from people, hey, what kind of businesses should I start? How do I begin? And hey, it's all taking that baby step, yeah. I think, and really hearing it from those top guys of the innovative world that just doing something and getting your feet wet is the right way to start.
You gotta show up. Right. I mean, that's the first start of anything. And then I think we heard today, we talked about innovation and, you know, we have to do something different. We can't follow the pack. If you copy what other people are doing, not really considered innovative, we have to create something that's different. If we're successful enough, maybe something that actually gives us a competitive advantage. And like some of the companies out there that exist in the U.S., sometimes it's a competitive advantage that's so strong, some people might even view it as unfair. And I think it's all fair when it comes to business, as long as it's legal, but thinking about the most innovative companies in America. Fast Company did a study and they found that in 2017, the top 10 innovative companies were the following. Number 10, I think I know, I mentioned this at the beginning. Number 10 is Spotify, right? I think we know those guys. Number 9 is a yogurt company, Chobani. Number 8, Twilio. Number 7, Netflix. Number 6, Facebook. And number what? 5, yes, number 5, we actually had a guest, Jeff Rizzo guest in, during the break of what number 1 was. I won't reveal that yet. Number 5 was Snapchat or Snap.
Okay.
Right? You use a little bit of Snapchat.
Huh, yeah.
That way your comments disappear or those incriminating photos.
Gotta make sure those 25 seconds. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly,
they do disappear, right? But you can always screenshot that. Am I right?
You get caught doing that.
Yeah. Now, Apple was number 4.
Okay.
Right? They've created a heck of a platform, ecosystem, if you will. Number 3, the company with no cars, no real hard assets, Uber, right? The biggest taxi cab company in the world at number 3. And number 2, Google. Now, Alphabet, developing all kinds of cool stuff, not just a search engine. There's so much more happening at Google.
Tesla's nowhere in here, huh?
You were wrong on Tesla. Sorry about that.
Not top 10.
Definitely an innovative company. But number 1, drum roll, is Amazon. They have transformed the way we shop, and they're offering products to us faster, cheaper, better.
I don't think anybody's shocked by that. You know what I mean?
Nobody's surprised by Amazon. And some of these, you know, you think about some of them that have gotten so big, you know, because my prediction over the next 10 years, I talked about coming up with a prediction for the next 10 years. And what I'm seeing so often is big companies and large organizations, they have trouble creating these innovating teams, right? They have to figure out a way to sequester themselves into smaller groups, because larger organizations, in many cases, can't quite sequester the small groups to actually come up with the most innovative ideas. So I think the most innovative companies are going to come from smaller companies. But my prediction is this, that these small companies, as they get a little bit bigger, right, as they get to be worth 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 million, they will get acquired by Facebook, Amazon, and the bigger companies like that. So we may find that Google and Amazon and Facebook, the big, keep getting bigger, because as soon as somebody becomes even a minor threat in their space, they have the capacity to use their corporate VC money and make an acquisition. So I think if I were to predict the top 3, I'm going to say number 1 will be Amazon, number 2, Facebook, and number 3, Google. That's my prediction.
It's really interesting to me that you bring up that point, that right now is a great time to be an entrepreneur, because isn't everybody looking for that first exit point? So if you can decide if one of those 3 are your top prospects of where you're going to sell your company to, and you build it that way, I think that right now, with the way the internet is going and the ability to really start a business from nothing with limited capital, like Jeff talked about, those guys are not too far off, right?
No, I completely agree. But I think that any of us as entrepreneurs, we may be an electrical contractor. We may be somebody who is not a tech company necessarily. We may be a surveillance distributor or a real estate company. Any company can add innovation to their culture. And I think it starts with the people, and I think it starts at the top. And brings me to a quick story. And you may not know this, Marcus, but guess who sold the first HD TV in Sacramento?
Northern Video Systems.
Ah, you are correct. My old company, I actually sold the first high-definition television in Sacramento. We had got ourselves into, I always talk about business plans change, right? And it's those innovative cultures that allow for business plans to change. And that happened to us. We had loaned a guy some money who couldn't pay us back. We get his company from the bankruptcy guys. And we have this thought that we are going to be HDTV sales guys, right? This is back in 1992. And our business plan was all around HDTV and high-end pro video to the government. Well, guess what happened? Nobody wanted to buy HDTV systems at that time or TVs at that time. And we sold the first one, but we beat our heads against the wall trying to sell more HDTV. And you know, we had to be a little bit innovative and kind of listen to our customer.
Right.
And we found that other things worked better, like selling security cameras. There was a strong appetite for the security camera business, and we pivoted and we went that direction. And I think it comes from being a little bit innovative. I'm not the most innovative guy in the world, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that if you're not selling HDTV HDTVs or professional video stuff, as well as you're selling security cameras, then maybe you ought to allocate resources over to what makes more sense so that you can survive. There's no problem that more sales won't fix. We have to show up in this way. We showed up, but you know, we showed up and we were wrong. We were wrong on our business plan. We used a little bit of innovation to switch gears, to pivot, and it eventually moved on to sell some security cameras. And you know, ultimately we ended up becoming, after a few mergers and sales of companies, and we became the largest video security distributorship in the world. And it all started with that one little pivot from HDTV to security cameras. So really cool stuff. And I gotta thank you, Marcus, for coming out today. I want to thank the guests again, and just a Sacramento salute to the leaders of hometown patriotism, to the people who are taking a leap, right, who are showing up to change Sacramento, to drive innovation here in our region, to the guys that make it all happen for us, and for guys like you, Marcus, who fight the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life, and to the 13 stripes, and to the 50 stars, and the one big American venture always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you,
always by your side.